This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 23rd of June, 2022, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. If it's a Thursday, that means it's a Culture Thursday. And don't worry that we started the show a little late today because we've got two full hours of culture and agriculture today. I got a day full of guests, including Mr. Phil Davis Jr., Phil the farmer man, Eden Farming Club, joining me to talk about culture, agriculture, some aquaculture, and a whole bunch of building a culture of appreciation for things that grow in the Bahamas. For the first segment of the show, we'll be joined by Mr. Troy Sampson, the general manager of BAIC. And for the second segment of the show, we will be joined by representatives from the Miss Bahamas Universe organization. Good morning, Mr. Davis Jr.
Top of the morning. Thanks for having me here again.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Okay, so I wanted to start the show talking about spatial awareness. So let's do this. That song we opened the show with is Watermelon Spoiling on the Wine by Blind Blake. I, not a guardian, own the rights to any of the music I play on my show. This is purely and solely an educational exercise. And if I had one 15 years on me, it would be like a little punishment for all y'all children that don't like your own culture. Right? But that's all it is. That's all it is. And that version of Watermelon Spoiling on the Vine, this is the first time I've ever heard it. First time it ever popped up when I've been searching on YouTube. And the recording is the quality is just beautiful. Mm-hmm. You pick up so much in the song, the musical stylings, the lyrics, his cadence, the tone, everything is just amazing. And then I realized this boy wasn't even talking about watermelon. the love of spoiling on the wine, miss, you wasting his time. Anyway, and that's the beauty of Bahamian music. It's almost like the Bible. There are messages within messages within messages. But you have to be intimately tied to your culture. You got to understand where you come from to understand the fullness of the song. This time, you getting one meaning, your children getting one meaning, but there are 3-4 other meanings in the song, like Elon Moxie, Confidential Thing. I still ain't 1,000, I am not confident what that song is about. And that's not to say that I am not from Andres. It's just to say that I only get bite once, bite twice, 3 times by crab, when I was trying to catch them.
Well, I guess it's how Dazzy was talking about parallel universes, eh? Mm-hmm. Different meanings for one particular thing. So,
yeah, man. Yep. Absolutely. And imagine that these songs that we play, it had one meaning for my parents, another meaning for me. It could have another meaning for my nieces and nephews. And maybe even if I have a children, it could have another meaning for my children. And that is the beauty of culture, because culture belongs to all of us. Right? It belongs to all of us, but we are not forced to connect to it in the same way. which leads me to this little thing I want to talk about. I'm not going to take long this morning, about spatial awareness. My loves, and I say this, my loves, dear Bahamians, spatial awareness is one of the most important skills, like soft skills, you ever going to have and use, but one of the most valuable things that you can teach your children or to help them learn. When you're looking at the billionaires and the, and you notice I didn't say millionaires, the billionaires, multi-billionaires, a part of the toolkit they use to amass that wealth, one of those tools is spatial awareness, being able to walk into an environment, to read the environment and understand it, understand the dynamic nature of the environment, understand how you fit in right now, and how you can continue to move throughout that environment without being a detriment to the environment and the people in it. You see, that's how you make money ethically. Mm-hmm. Right? The anti-capitalists like me are not saying you can't make money, but you have to make money ethically with a morality attached to it. Right? And spatial awareness is very and very important. So to that handsome boy, listen, I was so happy to see you again driving that scooter 1522, that four-wheeler in that suit. Like, listen, whenever I look in for a man, first of all, your suit always press. You could afford dry cleaning. Right, you ain't worried about splashing up on your cuffs in your four-wheeler. You know, it's tapered professionally. You look like you go to the gym. You're handsome. But how you get so reckless, buddy? How you get so reckless? This is the second time my angel stopped me from accidentally knocking you off that bike. Kingman, please, practice spatial awareness. I had the misfortune of seeing that video. I asked about if anybody knew what happened on PI. I had the misfortune of seeing that video, not as unfortunate as the circumstances involved. Complete and total lack of spatial awareness. And to imagine that same evening, I was walking through my neighborhood, delivering some mangoes to the poor and needy. No, I was delivering some mangoes to my neighbor who loved mangoes in the dark, because she loved them. And this car, I mean, almost knocked me over. And I had a nice bottle of water that was reflecting light in my hand. My phone was on and flashing at the car, and the person still almost knocked me down. Mm-hmm. A complete and utter lack of spatial awareness. Now, these things are important. Now, I got some agriculture people in today, and spatial awareness
is key.
Fundamental.
Absolutely key. Like when you could go straight into a yard or a client's place and be able, like you say, identify where things can grow, where they cannot grow, where the water will saturate, where the water will drain out, where there's sufficient sunlight. Spatial awareness for plants is absolutely key for you to grow.
Absolutely. And then when you could walk into a yard and you could get a sense of, look here, I already know where these people hang out, where they spend most of their time. I know the routes that they take most often through the yard. I imagine that this is the route that you take when you go into your shed or you're watering. This is when you're going to take out the garbage, right? These are things like that soft skill. You want to be a police officer. You want to be an investigator. You want to be an interrogator. These are the soft skills. These are the things that you need to excel if you want to be a successful politician. And I don't just mean make money and have longevity in politics. I mean a successful politician that affects change. You need spatial awareness under your belt. But more importantly, if you want to work in the tourism industry in the Bahamas, you need spatial awareness, because the boy them that be making the most money are the ones who have practiced and polished their soft skills, critical thinking, mindfulness, spatial awareness, empathy. These are the people that are excelling in every single space in your country. Now watch this. I could be easy, because I felt it. I felt it just now. Somebody say, man, Aaron, when you privilege, when you don't got to worry about things like rent and feeding your children and insurance and school fees and gas and the tablet keep cracking and I need another tablet, then you could think about those things. I get it. We get it.
Preach.
We understand Preach. That, right? What you do in your very small spaces, right, like in your homes, you begin to teach spatial awareness to your kids and the people in your home. And once you are living and in an environment where you know that the people most intimate to you respect you.
Correct.
And take time to protect your boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Increase your frequency.
Right. Mm-hmm. Then you will begin to feel better, and y'all collectively will begin to feel better, and you get a stronger step into the outer world. I'm telling you. So don't think this is like, oh, y'all privileged people is sitting on the porch and drink tea at 10 a.m. because you ain't got a real job. You don't need it, right? This be understanding what's going on. And just before I go, I want to say this. I see the taxi drivers in the paper talking about things are so rough. Let's talk about spatial awareness for a moment. You are not going to get a lot of sympathy from Bahamians.
Nope.
If it costs $50 now to get from the airport, like halfway through town. We're even talking the eastern end of the island, right? But you're not going to get a lot of sympathy if, like this morning, you continue to run tours in peak traffic time at 5 to 0 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you touring Government House? Didn't we put out a memorandum that nobody is supposed to look at Government House until it fix up? Don't mind, we didn't paint it. We're talking about spatial awareness, right? How y'all didn't paint Government House for the Prince them? Isn't that the scam? Isn't that the scam? You're pretty up the outside, you don't have to worry about the inside. How did we forget that, Bahamas? Spatial awareness. Anyway, last note, Sun Cash,
mm-hmm.
Spatial awareness. We need y'all to sit down and think about how your customers are relating in the space that your business occupies. It's just some troubleshooting. Y'all sit down and go through some things. You know, just do that. I love the idea. I love the service. I tried to use it. I was very excited. It almost worked. It go work. I'm very excited about it. Y'all just make it work. That's all. Text here, great show as usual, Miss Green. I will never date another role again, and I most definitely ain't dating no woman from Cat Island. Well, that is fine, sir. First of all, the whole Cat Island contingency asked me to send you this note. We would like to thank you for taking the time to assess your own personal needs.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, we thank you greatly for making us aware of your desire
mm-hmm.
and your position. We are not upset at you. And now we know to stay away from you. No Cat Island bread for you. No Cat Island tart for you. No Cat Island crabs for you. No Cat Island crab and rice for you. No Cat Island pineapple. Y'all know there's grow pineapple in Cat Island. No pineapple for you.
Sweet, sweet.
I don't think the people in Cat Island are that mad. I ain't that mad either.
And that's more for us.
That's what I was about to say.
More for us. Thanks, brother.
Listen, the guy from the States, the Bahamian guy from the States, say he hate Freeport girls. Say, I love Exuma girls. I don't know what y'all Freeport girls did to this guy, but y'all don't go talk to the Cat Island girls, okay? Don't talk to Cat Island girls. Anyway, good morning, Texter. Thank you, and thank you very much. But Phil, we've got Mr. Troy Sampson, Executive Chairman for BAIC, waiting in the Zoom room. Producer, is he there? We're going to see right now.
That's the GM.
Oh, the general manager. Right. The general manager. My bad.
Leroy Major.
I am sorry. Mr. Leroy N. Major.
Yes.
MP.
Yes.
Is the executive chairman.
Correct.
I'm sorry. I'm working on my plan. I told you about my plan,
don't
right?
Don't worry. Spatial awareness. I got you.
Yeah.
I
good,
got
good.
You.
Mr. Producer, is Mr. Sampson in the Zoom room? All right. We're going to check right now.
Yeah, Mr. Sampson is an awesome individual down at BAIC. He has a wealth of knowledge and stuff. So hopefully this conversation this morning, he'll be able to elaborate on everything that BAIC can do and will do for the general public.
Right. And some of the things I want to talk about today, BAIC and the orange economy,
mm-hmm.
right? People thought I was being foolish. They're like, man, Aaron, okay, so you could make commercials for your product. You could make taglines, marketing. But beyond that, what is there? What do the orange economy and BAIC have to do with each other? I told them, boy, you wait and see. You'll be surprised,
mm-hmm.
right? In fact, we have world-class artisans,
correct?
Right, that are using locally produced materials to create world-class goods,
mm-hmm.
including a designer like Hal Taylor, right?
Exactly.
World bags and products known across the world. Just amazing. Producer? All right. Good morning, Mr. Sampson. We are We are working on it.
I can't hear it yet.
Yeah, yeah. So we also have, one of the things I want to talk about is, how does BAIC facilitate and assist the vendor, farmer and vendor, bringing produce and products to market? Mm-hmm. I think I hear Mr. Sampson in the background. Mr. Sampson?
Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you this morning?
I am good, thank you. How are you?
I am alive and getting better.
Good, good, good. And you must be getting better because GANEP is on the ground. And who could be bad if GANEP is on the ground?
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. So before we... Well, let me tell you the list of things that I hope that we could talk about today. Like I said, BAIC and the Orange Economy, bringing produce and products to market, BAIC programs, classes, and opportunities that people can get involved in right now or plan to in the near future, the potential of an agriculture census in the country, the potential and the positives, and if we have time, the changing fruit seasons. People have noticed the fruit production is shifting, some earlier than normal, some later than normal, and the impact that that could potentially have on producers and people who are trying to carve out a sustainable place in the market.
Well, that is a full list, and hopefully we'll have enough time to engage on topics. Really excited to be here. Good morning, Director Phil Davis.
Morning, boss.
Great. So let's start with the programs, classes, and other opportunities that people could involve themselves with, take advantage of, or prepare for in the near future.
So the interesting thing about BAIC is we are considered the commercial arm of the Ministry of Agriculture, right?
Okay.
What do I mean by that? So anything to do with the movement, the sale, the distribution, the marketing of agricultural crop, livestock, processed items, all fall within the ambit of BAIC. Mm-hmm. Additionally, BAIC is also responsible for the lease of agricultural land. The Ministry of Agriculture also has its own portfolio of agricultural land, but BAIC has over 20,000 acres of arable land that it also can lease for agriculture purposes, among other purposes as well.
Now, Mr. Sampson,
in addition to that,
a quick question. Is any of that land on Andros Island? I mean, Mango Island.
If you're referring to Andros, we have a very small landholding portfolio on Andros, but the preponderance of our agricultural land is on Abaco, where we have north of 19,000 acres, and on Eleuthera, where we have close to 3,000 acres of arable land. And then Andros, we have less than 10 acres, really, which is set out in an industrial park area. We have, however, in order to be able to facilitate more people getting into the agricultural sector, more growers, we've requested additional land that's in flux right now. So hopefully the powers that be will see the benefit of making more land available to BAIC to distribute to those people that want to get into agriculture.
Right, absolutely. Growing, definitely. I would limit the nature of the processing and have primary processing in Andros, and then take secondary and maybe tertiary processing to another facility just for environmental concerns. Mm-hmm. So I'm not too scared about that only 10 acres for the sort of industrial space. But Abaco, with all of that land available, it seems like we may need to refocus and maybe with a 10-year training and education plan, building capacity for citrus cultivation again and things
Certainly.
That grow in cold climes.
So one of the things that the corporation is doing right now is a full assessment of what it is that the market is demanding, i.e. UI, Mr. Davis, and every other consumer out there that goes to a grocery store, that goes to a farmer's market, that goes to the produce exchange, et cetera, what are the crops that are most in demand by Bahamians on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month basis? And then how do we begin to position our farmers to grow toward that demand, as opposed to, you know, hobbyist farmers who grow what they like to grow, who grow what they know how to grow, which may not necessarily intersect with the demand that is demonstrated among consumers, everyday consumers, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're in the process of doing a couple of things. One, evaluating the market, and two, creating a crop schedule that now aligns these particular high demand crops with farmers on the islands that have the agronomy to grow those crops, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so farmers now in their own locale where the agronomy lends to, say, for example, citrus, and we know that citrus is a, you know, in demand, high demand. You get your oranges, your grapefruit, your nectarines, et cetera, to now put them on a schedule and a staggered schedule to grow towards that demand. And this is something that we're attempting to now have implemented. We're in the final phases of the completion of the crop schedule to have a national implementation that rationalizes the growth of these commodities. And why is that important, Ms. Green? Because when you talk about the big wholesalers, the big buyers, they don't buy for their stores a week ahead of time, a month ahead of time.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They buy 6 months, 3 months, 4 months ahead of time. And so the extent to which they know that the farmers 6 months from now have X, Y, and Z in production, they can buy ahead of time, or they can put their orders in rather ahead of time. What does that do on the farm side? It guarantees to that farmer, if he grows the crop at the quality and at the quantity that the wholesaler is demanding, well, then he has his whole crop sold before it comes out of the ground fully. Mm-hmm. And so it's a symbiotic relationship where we can begin now incrementally to reduce the amount of food items that we import into this country.
Correct.
And it's all a part of the overarching plan to increase food security, food sovereignty, and food sustainability. And to the extent that we become less and less reliant on our neighbors to the north, south, east, and west, the more secure in a food nutrition way we become as a nation.
Correct. And GM, to take it a little bit further, we also at BAIC, we help them a step further of not just selling the raw material, correct? We'll help them out with their marketing plan. We'll help them out with the packaging, possibly barcodes on them, so it'll be easier sold in the stores or ready to be sold in the stores. Is this something that we are in line with at BAIC?
100%. So because BAIC has responsibility for the network of packing houses through the farming islands that are in production, when a farmer grows his crops, BAIC, by policy, is mandated through the packing house network on an annual basis to purchase upwards of $9,000 worth of crops from a farmer, from each individual farmer. Mm-hmm. Now, that $9,000 is under consideration, perhaps to be increased by multiples or perhaps even to be eliminated. That's not a finalized position. But in terms of how is it that we begin to stimulate the ag sector? How do we stimulate our farmers to grow more substantively, to move from a subsistence farmer or a smallholder farmer to a small commercial farmer, to a medium-sized commercial farmer? Well, then we have to begin to open up this incentive towards them growing. However, we have to do it in a way that is rational, because ultimately, we need farmers to be growing crops that can be ventilated into the market, rather than, you know, farmers growing things that they like to grow, but there is no interest for uptake in the market. Mm-hmm. Then produce exchange gets up with it, and mm-hmm. then we have ourselves a big controversy of fruit sitting in the produce exchange rotting because we can't get it sold because there is no demand. So there's a number of things that have to work together in a coordinated fashion in order to make this this approach to sustainability, security, and sovereignty work.
Mm-hmm. All right. So are there grants or opportunities available, or is BAIC looking for partners to, quote, help grow the culture of appreciation for local produce and local value-added products? So when I think about BAIC and the orange economy, right, I don't just think about the world-class artisanal products that Bahamians are producing. I also think about this space in which we have to be constantly growing and promulgating, right, mm-hmm. perpetuating the culture of appreciation mm-hmm. for local agriculture and these products. And then the more specific work of growing a culture of appreciation for new products and new ideas
with the artisans
in the market. Are there opportunities for creatives to come in and support the work that BAIC is doing?
Great, great question. And to kind of tie in what you were talking about earlier, so the spatial awareness of who we are, what we have, I think is very important to this conversation. Anytime you talk about agriculture, and I learned this years ago from the venerable William Godfrey Aeneas, who at the time I think was the ambassador to FAO, he talked about, when you mention agriculture, you talk about two things. You're talking about agri and culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
And every day we all intersect with agriculture, and not through the things we consume, you know, through our mouths, but also for most of us, the things that we wear on our body, mm-hmm. whether it's our clothing or our shoes or our belts, you know, this is all a part of agriculture as well. How does that tie into the orange economy? So when you talk about the creative arts, you talk about music, you talk about handicraft, you talk about visual arts, you talk about spoken word, et cetera. These are all things that have a direct impact in terms of how do we distill our culture, who we are as a people, the flavor profile of the food that we eat, the rhythm of the music that speaks to everything that is in us, our African past, our European influences, our America's influences, right?
Mm-hmm.
And BAIC is embarking upon a transformation to be able to be an organization to facilitate the growth and the development of our culture. That is important within the context of, you know, the Bahamas being a signatory to the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. Embedded within those goals, Ms. Green,
mm-hmm.
The 17 goals are a number of things that focuses on the development of culture and youth and women, rural areas, the alleviation of poverty, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
How best do we now create opportunities for our creatives than to create a platform where those expressions could be highlighted, could be supported? And as you asked earlier, whether it is we're working collaboratively, yes, we are. As a matter of fact, we have several MOU arrangements in place with other governmental and non-governmental agencies to begin to be able to more tangibly support our creatives in a way that perhaps heretofore hasn't been seen.
Mm-hmm.
No, BAIC doesn't give grants, but what we do have, as I mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. thousands of acres of land. Some of that land, the vast majority of it, is earmarked for agriculture. But as I also mentioned, some mm-hmm. of it is earmarked for industrial purposes.
I have a quick text. Somebody wanted to know, where do they go to apply for land for non-agriculture purposes?
BAIC.gov.bs. Our All website right. has a forms page. On that forms page, you're able to fill in your application online. Doesn't require you to, you know, spend $6.98 gas to drive to us. You mm-hmm. can do it right from the comfort of your home or your office or from your phone, and you will get a response in due course.
Now, GM, the BAIC, we don't offer the grants, but we have partners that offer the grants with their business plans that generated from us, correct?
Indeed. So, you know, back to the point of the question you were asking as well, Ms. Green. So, for example, one of the MOU relationships we have is with the Bahamas Development Bank, as well as the Small Business Development Center.
Okay.
BAIC can assist budding entrepreneurs with the preparation of business plans.
Those
business plans are accepted at both the Small Business Development Center as well as the Bahamas Development Bank. And of course, the entrepreneur has to go in and defend their plan. But certainly where a plan is deemed to be credible and the individual behind the plan is as well, there can be the type of success that is necessary to get an enterprise started.
Listen, look at how I'm going to have to come in and partner with somebody, because I don't know if you all are aware of this yet, but I am officially going to occupy Mango Island. My name, before I went to QC, my name was Aaron Green Mango, and they cut off the mango part. It's my daddy, you know? He's a decent man. Anyway, the point is, if I don't start my Mango Festival project with 12 months of mango planting varieties of trees that will produce every month, I may just take a whole dray load of Andrus hog to that island and plant almond and more mango trees. Ooh. And then I can be raising some almond pig mango fed pork. Because, you know, when the Italians sent it, or the Spaniards sent it over to the States, the leg of pork sell for like $900 a piece. I just saying, maybe me and the Ministry of National Security could partner to go occupy that island. But I'm thinking about, you know, projects at that scale, right? Is BA, like, has anybody ever put through an idea like that, right? Like, I want to go to Mango Island right now. I want to turn it into a fruit farm and food forest and make camping available. But you have to do it in a safe way, because you don't want to contaminate the environment you're relying on.
Looking at agritourism.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Anyway, sir, I got very, very excited there. I got far too excited. So here's a question for you. When was the last agriculture census? And how I could find out what fruit trees other people them have in their yard?
Right. So that would fall really under the remit of the Department of Agriculture.
Okay, I got you.
And don't hold me to this, but I believe that was some within the last maybe 7 to 10 years, if I am properly advised. I could be wrong there, but that is the information that I have. So it wouldn't be something that would fall within the remit of BAIC, is the point I'm making.
Right.
But getting back to the point you were making about Mango Island and you being Aaron Green Mango.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess you're Aaron Ripe Mango at this point, eh? But,
you know. Well, I guess I could go get my Bengay after the show. Yes, sir.
Indeed. But the point I'm making is that, you know, the idea that you're espousing in terms of, you know, growing a particular crop on a particular island ties right back to that crop schedule that I mentioned early. And how do we begin to take back the loss of production? You know, we used to be, years ago, self-sufficient in a number of crops. In the 80s, we were self-sufficient in certain crops.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, you know, certain things happened, certain decisions were made that led to the reversal of that, you know, where it was thought perhaps that it was cheaper to just import.
That was the plan from the state, subsidizing the farmers over there to make the pricing unattractive for our own at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so while you may have gotten some advantages in terms of price, the question remained about whether you were getting the same quality. You know, growing locally does a number of things beyond just stimulating the local economy. It also brings, as you talked about earlier, Aaron, it also brings spatial awareness to your food. You're now talking about the proximity of your food from where it's grown to your table. That is important, because now I don't have to have any additives. I don't need to have it you know,
coloring,
stored
nothing
in
like that.
Chill rooms or frozen rooms for an inordinate period of time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, scientifically, it is a proven fact that, so for example, poultry, which is a big consumer item in this country, poultry frozen for longer than 12 months, with the exception of turkey, but poultry frozen for longer than 12 months is said to have negligible nutritional value. Mm-hmm. So you're really only eating them frozen bird, those birds that have been frozen for over 12 months,
yeah.
Only eating it for entertainment.
Yep.
And fiber, that's all.
Yep.
Yeah, wow, wow, 12 months. And we know that in practice could be much longer, but go on, Phil.
Now, spatial awareness, GM. We were looking, is it possible for us to talk about how we were looking with partnering up with housing? So where we're going to start to do these housing developments where we are going to place in possible fruit trees and stuff like that within the area or in people's yards, and we'll know exactly what's growing like that.
Wow. Okay.
Absolutely. It's been tremendous. And, you know, you hear this notion of food deserts, which isn't, you know, a common phenomenon in our country, just based on, again, spatial awareness and proximity. We're not a vastly large, you know, group of islands. And so, you know, people typically have ready access to food. But being deliberate and intentional about the design and the development of subdivisions and how food-bearing trees, I mean, I think we're all, you know, old enough to recall either our parents or our grandparents' yard, you know, being laden with varieties of fruit-bearing trees. And we've kind of gone away from that. But to now, as the saying, to be intentional about the design of communities to ensure that, you know, fruit-bearing trees are accessible, and the sense of community that creates when people can congregate around a mango tree, around a sapodilla tree, around a ganap tree. You know, those were the places that, in a lot of cases, were the center of communities. And again, you know, I think Director Davis was alluding to a particular subdivision on a particular island that has a location of approximately 100 acres from BAIC, and how that particular subdivision should have elements of fruit-bearing trees as a part of its overall design contemplation.
And what I love about this idea is it's a continuation of a policy that's been entrenched in governance culture, right? Your initial low-cost homes, you know, alternate cost homes had fruit trees, and you could get your option of one fruit tree or two fruit trees. Mm-hmm. So this is a lovely expansion. And hopefully people will begin to develop communities where we all share a courtyard and we can all share a complement of trees, right? And then sharing the benefit of producing from those trees as well. Mr. Sampson, we've got to go to a break. When we come back from the break, I'd like you to tell people how they can get in contact with BAIC to ask questions that they may have generated from this discussion and more questions. And then I have a special question for you that is not on the list. You may have to play one round of the How Bahamian Are You local food game show. So we're going to go to a break. You guys stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Aaron Green and the Agriculture Men. We will be right back.
Deep fried juicy pumpkin, bananas, peas and corn, breadfruit, lime, lemon, orange, cassavas, potato, onions, carrots. That's not good for making tea. Whee!
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Fidelity. Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the Solution. Sponsor On the Clock of Aaron Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're On the Clock with Aaron Green. Sorry it took us so long to get back. Phil and I are currently diving into a bag of Ganep. Studio, the Ganep is on the ground. They're early. I need all my island storytellers and holders of oral knowledge and oral tradition. That's when you don't really write the story down. You remember what your Grammy tell you. I need you all to sit and tell us what's happening, right? A lot of people don't understand how indigenous culture works, but a big part of it is spatial awareness. You got to be aware of what's happening around you and why it's potentially happening. And so I'm a little concerned because people say when you see Ganep too early, it could be a problem, you know. But it's been very, very cool so far. Every time it gets a little hot, the skies say, oh, we can cool it down. And this is a good thing. Mr. Sampson, just very quickly, I got a text here that says, Aaron, when you say Mango Island, you're being rude. And I want to say to you all, listen, I would not do that because I'm scared of getting pinched by all the old people who will pinch me. There is an island called Mango Island. It is off of Andrus. Somebody sent me a video from somebody today. I've seen it with my own eyes. But why ye of little faith trying to pass that little faith on to the rest of us? The Bahamas has 700 islands and 2,300 rocks and keys. You hear that? 700 islands and 2,300 rocks and keys. And somebody tell me each and every one of them have a name. And Mango Islands. All right, I got another text. Great show as usual. How could we make agriculture popular to the young kids? Because people see as a poor man job or Haitian job. Okay, if you really, I tell you all the time, Rasta on the road selling tamarind and scarlet plum for $12 and $14 a pound.
I love that question that just came up, because the next segment that we have coming up with these beauty contestants and these queens is exactly how we're going to make it attractive. Okay. So I'm partnering up with the beauty contestants, and they're going to get involved in it. So what I was showing is that if somebody who's quote-unquote born with a silver spoon inside their yard, getting their hands dirty and stuff, if I could have a beauty queen inside the yard showing these young girls that it's not just for the person over the hill to get involved, digging in the dirt and everything. You can be of a very, very high stature and still taking care of your family.
Right. Listen, first of all, technology, right? So one of the ways to make it attractive is fix the systems. Make sure the electricity works all the time, 1,000% of the time, and the telecommunication systems as well, right? Mm-hmm. Because I'm a young person. I want to secure my crops. Yep. I want TV up, little hidden cameras up, but they can only work if the systems they run on are also functional, right? These are the things that will make...
Most definitely.
Right?
The next stage of farmers are doing everything from their phone, like you're saying. They can turn on sprinklers, turn off sprinklers, put shades over crops. They can do anything straight from their phone.
Yes, absolutely. I've got a text here. Oh, yes, sir. Please, jump in.
Yeah, so, you know, the agriculture sector is vast. And I think a lot of times we localize it perhaps to what we have seen historically, but there is a whole area of science dedicated to agriculture. You have botanists, you have agronomists, you have soil scientists, you have plant pathology, an entire area of science. You also apply business sector that is critical to the agriculture value chain. You have people that are responsible for logistics, the movement of agricultural product across the globe, right?
Yep.
You have people in the transport sector related specifically to agriculture, marketing, agri-economics, and a whole plethora of things. You have processors, people that take, you know, whether it's mangoes or tomatoes or pumpkins, papayas, etc., and convert them into sauces, jams, jellies, seasonings, juices, wines. There is such a broad consideration when you talk about agriculture, not to mention, you tie it back to the orange economy and particularly the handicraft sector. So if we don't have the silver palm or the palm top to make the hats and the bags and the baskets, then that whole aspect of our culture is eliminated. Mm-hmm. The basis of that is agriculture.
Yep.
Even if we now begin talking about the batik or androsia, that fabric that is inlaid with the cotton material, right?
Mm-hmm.
That cotton begins with agriculture.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So it is very difficult to dismiss or to limit agriculture as a pickaxe, a big broad hat, and a whole lot of hot sun.
Yep.
It is way beyond that.
Right.
And if you look at, say, for example, what, you know, you've got Eden Farms, you know, Carlos Palacios and young Lincoln Deal, and Dr. Salima, you know, Campbell.
Harbor.
And her group.
Yeah.
Exactly. These people are taking a very scientific approach to the production of food.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if we're going to get our young people into, have to recast what agriculture really represents and what the opportunities are in it. And to say, no, our grandparents, they did what they had to do with the technology they had available to them. But here's what it looks like in the modern world. And even if you just, you know, on your summer trips, drive through any small town and you will see the combines in the field. To the extent now, people are using automated combines to harvest corn, acres and hectares and hectares of corn. And so, you know, it's a big, big, big area where there's great, great, great opportunities for young, smart people, not, you know, only people who perhaps were at the back of the class.
Correct.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's just a wide space, whether we are working collecting Ragged Island into the tamarind production capital of the Caribbean, and we're going to be contributing to the culinary world because all we know is tamarind sauce and tamarind balls. We don't know Worcestershire sauce and A1 sauce and all of the culinary applications across Europe and Asia. You know, the tamarind is me personally. I'm going to just be selling my beet salt. I just make beet salt, right? I infuse beet water into my salt, and then I serve it with scotch conch, right? So you get a plate with your conch in your traditional scotch conch, not like fancy Nassau people, Montague Ram scotch conch. I'm talking old island scotch conch where you keep it and you scorch it up, and then you dip it in the salt.
Uh-huh.
You see, the salt look like the salt is like a pink sand. And then you dip it in the mango pepper sauce. Almost like how you do like a tequila shot, your salt and then your sour pepper. And then you take a bite of it and then you go back, right? And so that's like a small, that's me doing that. Not a massive production, but imagine if hundreds of us culinary vendors were not just making products, but producing experiences, culinary experiences like that, right? Then we grow an industry of individual workers, because there's some people that like to work like that, and then there's some people who are like, look here, I can go out in on that field, and I can collect 1,200 bale of tamarind this season.
Now you add an intangibility to your product.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Separating yourself from the world.
And,
exactly.
And if you think about Jamaica and how jerk has taken over really the planet, you know, that's their flavor profile.
Mm-hmm.
And we've adopted it as a part of ours as well. But how do we, through the orange economy, how do we, through, you know, the agricultural sector, through tourism, et cetera, how do we begin to take our flavor profiles and really create, you know, something dynamic and exportable to the world, right? And it is really, how do we distill who we are as a people, as Bahamians, whatever mm-hmm. that means contextually, right?
Yes.
How do we distill that into our music, into our food, into our speech, our language, et cetera, mm-hmm. and create brands that, you know, we as a people can be proud of, and it's not customized to suit anybody else's taste except ours, mm-hmm. and yet has broad appeal enough to be exportable.
Absolutely. It's so entrenched. And when you're talking bad to your children, you say, I can beat you. You say, I can beat you like I beat them eggs for that cake, right? Like, it's just a part of who we are. Now, sir, I am with, all out of time.
And with the tamarind switch.
Right. Oh, no, mama. Tamarind is for money. We make money with tamarind. We don't beat children anymore. But I've got a text, and then I've got a question from the game show, How Behave Local Food Edition. So the text says, excellent show, Lady Green. You know I extra love when you talk about agriculture. To the BAIC general manager, I consistently see some extremely huge, naturally grown crops from Andrus, especially when it comes to bananas and plantain, way bigger than what we import from overseas. That soil in Andrus is magically fertile. Please work to acquire the same amount of acres, or 2 to 3 what BAIC has in Abaco. It's not just the soil, it's the nature of the land itself, right? Some people call it Obey, I call it natural magic. Some people call it Wittig sand, I call it limestone potential. But there's something special, special about Andrus. Okay, Mr. Sampson.
Yes, I'm here.
All right, are you ready for your question?
I know.
This is the game where there are no wrong answers, unless, of course, that answer is Johnny Bread, okay? So you know what not to say. I can give you 2 quick ones. Pea soup and doughboy or split pea soup?
Pea soup and doughboy.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Why?
He's a Cat Island man.
Well, listen, as a young boy, that's what I grew up off of, right? I mean, pea soup and doughboy was the thing. I mean, split pea soup, I guess that was, but you know, for me, pea soup and doughboy was
the thing.
You know, what I grew up on. Even I think there's even some songs that mention pea soup and doughboy.
Absolutely.
Right? I think they talked about it.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you very much, sir. I'm all out of time, but stay in the Zoom room. Don't leave yet. And if you get kicked out, jump back in if you have a little bit more time.
All right. Thanks
All right.
for having me.
Thank you very much. Troy Sampson, General Manager of BAIC. Thank you very, very much. Thank you, producer, for your patience. Audience, we got to rush to the news break. I'm so sorry. And we will be right back after the news break with the continuation of On the Clock Culture Thursday Agriculture Special. Stay tuned.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.